Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the History Unplugged podcast, the unscripted show that celebrates unsung heroes, myth busts historical lies, and rediscovers the forgotten stories that changed our world. I'm your host, Scott Rank. Hi, everyone. Welcome to one of those in-between episodes where I answer any question that you have for me about history. Today's question comes from the good people at Black Rifle Coffee Company. It is a veteran-owned coffee company. They make great stuff. I recommend you check them out. And what they'd like me to address is 1773, the year of the Boston Tea Party, and how it affected America's use of coffee over tea. Very interesting question. There's also a lot to it, but I'll just say here right at the top that coffee has always been the drink of revolutionaries, free thinkers, and liberty lovers. And it's not just an American thing. It goes to Europe, goes to the Middle East, actually goes to the Ottoman Empire, and all the way back to the origins of coffee as it's consumed today in Ethiopia. Well, let's start out right at the beginning with coffee. It was cultivated in Africa as early as the 9th century, but it didn't really reach Europe until the 17th century. But it became popular around the early 1500s in the Ottoman Empire and the capital, Istanbul, as it was imported from Yemen, where it was produced. By the 1500s, coffee had spread to coffee houses across the Arab world. And within another 150 years, it took Europe by storm. Now, believe it or not, Middle Eastern rulers were terrified of coffee. Sultan Murad IV, a sultan of the Ottoman Empire, in the 1600s, he made the consumption of coffee a capital offense. He was so intent on this that he would disguise himself as a commoner and walk the streets of Istanbul with a broadsword, according to legend, and decapitate coffee drinkers as they sipped. His successor only gave a light cudgeling for the first offense, but if you're caught with coffee a second time, then you were sewn in a leather bag and tossed into a river. Again, a legend, but the point being that coffee consumption and drinking in a coffee shop was frowned upon. Why did they frown upon it? Well, in Sultan Murad's time, religious leaders preached on street corners that coffee could inspire indecent behavior. They feared that it would loosen their imaginations and they would begin to talk with one another about revolting against the government, or if not revolting, sharing ideas that weren't in the government's interest. According to one story, an Ottoman Grand Vizier, the main advisor to the Sultan, secretly visited a coffee house in Istanbul. He observed that people drinking alcohol would just get drunk and sing and be jolly, but people drinking coffee remained sober and plotted against the government. Once coffee spread to Europe and then in England in the 16 and 1700s, where coffee shops also opened, King Charles II issued an order to shut down all coffee houses after he traced some seditious poetry to them. But the backlash was enormous, and in just 11 days, he reversed his ruling. Now, coffee houses weren't just a place where people would gather together. They were a place where you could consume information. In the 16 and 1700s, as newspapers start to become more popular, they were still very expensive to acquire, and most people couldn't afford a subscription or the equivalent of what that was back then. So coffee houses would have a few newspapers on hand, and you could gather with other local intellectuals, businessmen, merchants, and others to read the broadsheets and discuss the affairs of the day. Sort of like the first social network of the age. Coffee houses also weren't restricted to a particular class. Men of all background could gather there to enjoy a drink and exchange ideas and read aloud papers and pamphlets. Great way to get news if you were illiterate, which many people were. John Adams noted that the debates and the deliberations in Congress are impenetrable secrets, but the conversations in the city and the chat of the coffee house are free and open. Now, coffee houses also had a reputation as being a den of gossip and false rumors. Ben Franklin in 1765 wrote an article, a satirical article, about the rampant false, imaginative, and contradictory articles printed in newspapers, noting their audience of coffeehouse students in history and politics. All right, now that sets the stage for the Boston Tea Party. In the Boston Tea Party, a group of demonstrators dumped British tea cargo overboard to protest the tax imposed by the British on tea. Many believe that this triggered an action in the U.S. where coffee became the national drink instead of tea as a symbolic reaction against what they thought was the national drink of England, and now coffee would be the national drink of America. Is that true? Well, John Adams said some things that would lead you to believe that. He made the switch to coffee in 1774 after he renounced tea drinking as unpatriotic in a letter to his wife Abigail. This was about 6 months after the Boston Tea Party. Here's the text of the letter that he wrote on July 6, 1774. He said that he loved tea, but would have to embrace coffee instead because tea had become unpatriotic. Accordingly, I have drank coffee every afternoon since, and have borne it very well. Tea must be universally renounced. I must be weaned, and the sooner, the better. Okay, now is this true for the drinking habits of all people throughout the colonies? That might be true for Adams and some other people, but it also has to do with larger economic forces. The reason Americans drink more coffee than tea is that for much of America's history since 1773, the coffee of Brazil and the Caribbean was cheaper and easier to obtain than tea from China or India, which was subject to trade restrictions. There were more robust trade routes between China and India and England, and the direct trade with the Caribbean and America. That's also why the colonials loved to drink rum, because sugarcane was very easy to acquire from the Caribbean, and then you could distill it in the colonies. So Americans did engage in boycotts of tea in 1774, but many of them drank it before 1774, and some drank it afterwards, so a lot of it had to do simply with the price of tea. Well, coffee has had its detractors in history. I mentioned that it was outlawed in the Ottoman Empire and England at different periods. In 1511, the governor of Mecca banned coffee because his medical advisors said it was bad for people's health. And in 1674, women in London were even convinced that coffee made their husbands impotent. But it's hard to undercut the positive effects it's had on global culture. The London Stock Exchange began with the atmosphere of bringing buyers and sellers together in a common space. And the famous insurance underwriter Lloyd's of London began in 1688 in a coffee house, with Lloyd providing free information service on shipping, publishing Lloyd's List. And it began as a place for marine insurance. Plus, it was hard to deny the delicious taste of coffee. According to one legend, Pope Clement VIII couldn't resist its charms. After inspecting the drink, he remarked to his advisors, "Why, this Satan's drink is so delicious, it would be a pity to let the infidels have exclusive use of it," referring to its Muslim background. But getting back to the original question about coffee's role in America, much of America was hammered out in coffee houses over discussion, over informal conversations about how government should happen, about how society should be run, where founding fathers discussed the future of the colonies or how government should be, realizing that trying to have coffee houses shut down, like King Charles II did, was symbolic of trying to shut down liberty, and it was much more dangerous than whatever words could get out. So the coffee house, the symbol of a free exchange of ideas, and coffee, its drink, was something that became very important to American identity early in its beginning. Well, thank you so much for the question. If you would like to submit one to me, you can go to historyunplugpodcast.com, and I would be glad to answer it. Thanks for listening to the History Unplugged podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the show to get your daily dose of all things history-related, from ancient Greece to the Cold War. You can do that by going to historyonthenet.com/subscribe. Speaking of History on the Net, if you want to dive deeper, go to our site historyonthenet.com, and there you'll find blog posts, book reviews, and all of our other podcast episodes. Plus, don't forget to rate and review this podcast so we can bring you the best daily history content possible. We'll see you next time at the History Unplugged podcast.
Are you a man who thinks about the Roman Empire at least once a day? According to a recent internet meme, you definitely do. And why shouldn't you? Here's a clip from Tom Holland talking about Rome at the very height of its power.
When tourists go to the Colosseum, they're not really going there, I suspect, most of them, because they're admirers of Flavian architecture. I suspect that they're going there because it's the kind of the shiver that you get of going to a place where blood sports have happened.
To listen to more of this discussion, check out the History Unplugged podcast on the podcast player of your choice.
War has played a key role in the history of the United States, from the nation's founding right down to the present. Wars made the United States independent, kept it together, increased its size, and established it as a global superpower. Hi, I'm James Early, host of the Key Battles of American History podcast. In each episode, I discuss American history through the lens of the most important battles of America's wars. To start listening now, go to ParthenonPodcast.com or search Key Battles of American History on your favorite podcasting platform.